Welcome to the 145th edition of Make Pro Wrestling Majestic Again. I am Tiger Height.
And I am Pina Gallagher.
So, because we had three pay-per-views to cover, and we kind of had to play a little bit of tourist the last night. We didn't have enough time to really get everything together in an adequate amount of time. So, we're just going to go right into the pay-per-views that we did not cover because we were covering WrestleMania.
Yes.
And in my opinion, we're going to do from the worst to the best, because if there is a best, there has to be a worst.
Right.
And to me, the worst one was Supercard of Honor.
Yes.
Now,
I do agree with that.
Now, the wrestling was in no means poor.
No.
But the other ones were just better.
Yes.
And once again, AEW / Ring of Honor tend to do this where they have kind of an explanation, really crap shows, and then when it comes to the pay-per-views, you get pretty good action.
Yes, you do.
I mean, the opener was good. Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson. I really like the Infantry after this, because they actually pulled off a pretty good tag match.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest with you, other than the Stardom Showcase, which it was Stardom, it was a Stardom match. If you've seen one Stardom multi-woman tag, you've seen all of them.
They are all just, I don't like Stardom.
Yeah,
matches very much.
But the Infantry really showcased some great stuff. I like the team. That match had, I would say, of all the title matches, the least that I could care about.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be a really good match.
Right.
I'm excluding the Bullet Club Gold match because they literally made that match that day. So we could not do anything to prepare ourselves for it.
Yeah.
And even then, that match was fine.
Yeah.
I just want this blow-off between Bullet Club Gold against the Acclaimed. Because this is starting to drag a little bit, and I'm getting kind of frustrated.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they make a match for Dynasty, and that's about it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I can't remember if Dynasty is going to have anything with them, but probably not.
I haven't seen anything. Of course, we got another week of shows.
Oh, I know. And then finally, I would say the biggest criticism I had was the ad nauseum shoving like Jay Briscoe down our throats during this match.
It was pretty bad. Although the match itself was pretty good.
The match itself was good, but once again, it's not Mark. How did Mark get here? Because his brother died?
Right.
I'm sorry. I am a person of, you should earn it. You know, we learned our mistakes from Eddie Guerrero's passing.
Yes.
We already saw that. And yet, why does this get the pass?
Right.
At least with Rey Mysterio, he won the Royal Rumble.
Right.
He was very early on in the Royal, he was number goddamn one in the Royal Rumble. So at least he earned his opportunity to go to WrestleMania.
Right.
This literally is,
this is like Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania 39. And then they had to rectify the mistake at 40.
Yeah.
Make him finish story. This is the second time that Mark Briscoe has to go after the Ring of Honor World Champion. He lost the first time. Big mistake.
That's right. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Was a big mistake.
Against Claudia, I totally forgot about that.
And they should have capitalized on that then, but they didn't. And now they have to come here to, quote, finish the story.
The problem is that instead of saying this is the redemption for Mark Briscoe, they continue to talk about Jay Briscoe.
Right.
What if they did this? He lost that match. He starts picking up wins against the tail end of the year.
He changes his personality a little bit because he still had them boys. Like, come on, it's just him now.
Right, and even at the Titantron, it had both of them. It's
right.
This should not have been about the redemption of the Briscoes. This should have been about the redemption of Mark.
Right.
He could have kept his gimmick.
Yeah,
maybe a theme song change.
Yeah.
Do a little bit of this.
Update the Titantron.
Right. But they never did that. He was just in random tag matches, and all of a sudden he gets a Ring of Honor World title match.
And he's not even in tag matches. He's in trios matches, which is even worse because it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, at the very least, I can understand why that he's not doing regular tags.
Well, I know why he's not doing regular tags.
Have him be in singles. What's wrong with him being in singles matches, in triple threat matches, and start picking up big momentum instead of him looking like the third Whitaker against next to Adam Copeland?
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much my interpretation. And then these two are also tagging next Sunday.
Yeah, they're tagging, and they were baby faces. So, I totally forgot about that. Why? It just doesn't make any sense. Now, you don't have to have Eddie Kingston be a heel. You didn't have to.
Right.
You could have had Mark Briscoe it redeemed himself. And Eddie's like, right. I've seen it. Let's do it. Boom. Then you take it away from Jay because we already had that and you fucked up. Okay, well, now what? Now we go to the redemption of Mark Briscoe.
Right.
And make him look like
a... we really have to move on from Jay.
Yeah. It was like, dude, he died like 2 years ago. Let's get over
well,
it.
Well, okay. Maybe less than a year
ago. And this is literally coming from me. Peanut Gallery is my brother. And it's like, okay, if that happened to him, I'm like, okay, at some point in time, you have to move on.
Right.
You know, it's kind of ridiculous.
Right.
Athena defending the title. Again, why?
I don't know.
Now, the only thing that I like is that Billy Starks, who is her minion, actually showed some heel.
Yes.
I really like that.
Yes.
And they really needed to do something with her and because they already fucked up once again.
Although Billy Starks just seems to change more than the Big Show as far as her alignment turns.
Yeah, because she was babyface against Athena and lost against Athena.
And then she became heel. And then
she was never heel. She went back to Athena but still was playing a heel.
Oh.
Also, am I the only one who is blatantly looking at Athena and saying, why the fuck was she a redskin? She was wearing red paint all over her body.
I have no idea.
It's like, what are you trying to do here?
I don't know.
I mean, that...
Right, she doesn't... She lacks personality. Okay.
So let's go totally redskin. That's fine.
Yeah,
let's just be
okay,
racist.
Let's talk about Johnny TV and Don Cass a little bit.
The premise of the rivalry was the custody of people.
Right, and was literally people's freedoms.
And now...
Those people are released.
They were released, and they were still mentioning them... the spot with all of like the boys who were doing this and leaping out was fucking embarrassing.
Oh yeah. By the way, two of the four people that were carrying Bayley on that throne were the boys.
Yes, they were the boys. I think that was Stephanie McMahon who wanted the boys to be there too. So that I think that's hilarious. This was that.
I mean,
match.
Hey, they were already there, right?
That, I know. Yeah, because nobody tells them fucking anything.
Right.
This was a mitigated disaster of a match. This was probably the worst fight without honor I have ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You mean Supercard of Honor?
No. The fight without honor.
Oh, you mean
the match
type?
Called,
oh,
yes.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot that was a match without honor.
I have seen worse Supercard of Honors.
I have too.
I've seen worse Supercard of Honors, but that was the worst fight without honor I have ever seen. The fact that Johnny TV was selling for those suicide dives from the boys.
Oh my God, those were viral. I forgot about that.
Though that was the most embarrassing. I cannot believe he even bothered with that.
Right.
Shit. Dalton Castle looks absolutely defeated with his company at this point.
Oh, absolutely. Because they got rid of the only part of his personality they just got rid of.
Yeah, it's part of the gimmick. You don't get rid of part of the gimmick.
Right. You might as well just get rid of Dalton as well. Dalton Castle has no value.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good wrestler, but I think...
He's just fat.
He just might need some time to get rid of that back brace. Good Lord. It's like it's been like 2.5 years.
I know, seriously.
Are you really wrestling so much that you can't allow your back to heal like one iota?
No, that's well, I mean, I don't know how much Tony Khan is paying him, but...
They're paying nothing. CM Punk had to pay for his own surgery, and that was CM Punk.
Oh, that's true.
Remember? He had to pay for his own surgery.
Although, I'm pretty sure Mercedes Moné won't have to pay for her own surgeries when she inevitably gets injured on her first match.
Yeah, probably. She will most likely get injured on her first match. But anyway, let's get back into this. Other than that, there wasn't really anything here that stood out to me as like spectacular.
No.
The crowd was hot. The show itself overall was good. I'll give it a full thumbs up being nice. But really...
I mean, you were in Philadelphia during WrestleMania weekend. You were going to find a market of people who wanted to watch the shows.
Exactly. So it was there.
Yep.
They did it. The build was bad. At least the show was good. So, Peanut Gallery, when we come back, we're going to talk about Sakura Genesis.
All right.
All right, we are back, and let's talk about Sakura Genesis. After what happened at Windy City Riot, it's sort of hard for me to look at this as...
That's the hard thing for me. It's like, you know, Windy City Riot just happened.
Where Tetsuya Naito lost to Jon Moxley. I mean, is it really getting to the point where we have to put the belts on people who don't even work for the company anymore? Is that the situation that we're in?
Yes, because New Japan, again, fails.
Wait, here's my problem. Why is New Japan working with AEW? They just purged all of their biggest stars.
Yeah.
Where are the other people that are working with New Japan shows? Right. Where the fuck are those people? Hello? why are you... It's this stranglehold is ridiculous. But let's talk about the show because the main event was very good.
Yes.
I love Yota Tsuji.
Yeah.
But they continue to put him in this position where I just don't think he's quite ready.
No, he's way too green. And again, this is a problem. New Japan just fails time and time again to create new stars.
Yep, they had Shingo Takagi, but now he's playing around with the never openweight champion with fucking Evil.
Oh my God.
Sonata was the most overrated star, and I'm like, I don't know why his matches were good.
But he's kind of bland as a character, I think.
Yeah, I understand. He really needs something more than just like a guy in just five guys.
Yeah.
Kazuchika Okada had an aura of leader.
Right.
He had the Rainmaker. Like,
and now he's playing around with the fucking Continental Classic champion.
Yeah, and now Sonata, who is a good wrestler, he's just that. He's a good wrestler. He was better as Cold Skull because he had a gimmick around him.
He literally had no gimmick.
Yep. The one thing I was surprised about was Jack Perry. He did impress me on the show. Mm-hmm. He did a very good job. Once again, he has a gimmick.
He does.
He's anti-AEW establishment character, and I'm 100% for him being in New Japan right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if Tony Khan is still a butthurt little bitch about it,
yeah.
Then why would he bother being in AEW?
I mean, hell, he asked for his release. Why didn't you grant it?
Right. I am going to at least say one thing. Sho and Yo is 100% an accident. Yo dislocated his shoulder.
Yes. I do remember that.
Yes. He was trying to continue to wrestle, but this lump just like right there. I'm like, oh, that's a dislocation. And they followed it up well. They're starting to build that junior division again. Thank God. Because they definitely need some people.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of people, unfortunately. And it's like, I think that it comes to a point now where New Japan is focusing too much on trying to
appease the American audience. They're starting to lose. They're trying to appease everybody. And when you try appease everybody, you please nobody.
Yeah, and that's why do you think they're doing all this stuff with Japanese, like, you know, everyone together now in Japanese wrestling? I mean, it's ridiculous that New Japan Pro Wrestling, they just fail to make stars.
Now, they have this ups and downs. They do. So I'm not necessarily...
Right now, they're not in an upswing. Let's put it that way.
Now, they do have stars, but they're not in the main event scene.
Like, right.
Bishamon, they're lifers with New Japan, and they're an excellent tag team. Their match with Bullet Club was very good.
Mm-hmm.
They have Kenta, who inspired people like CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, but they never really capitalized on them. As he should be.
Right.
They still have some time with him, so I'm not necessarily worried about that. They have Doki with Doki Mania, who was super over in this crowd. So they're putting him in a really good spot within the juniors. But once again, we're talking about tag. We're talking about juniors. We're talking about the global title scene with Jeff Cobb. They had Matt Riddle. They have Zack Sabre Jr. But all of them are doing good stuff on the undercard, not the overcard. Who else but Tetsuya Naito, Yota Tsuji, John Moxley? Those are the only three names off the top of my head that even feel like main event. And even then, do they really feel like main event?
They really don't.
Exactly.
I mean, and you know, now, I mean, looking forward and in being forward thinking now, AEW is not the only promotion that New Japan has to look out for now.
Look at Nick Nemeth and the Global Heavyweight Champion. That's one of their titles.
What about Tama Tonga?
He's gone. David Finlay now is playing with Gato on the undercard instead of being where he should be, which is...
Isn't he the leader of whatever remains of the Bullet Club?
Yeah, he's the leader of the other side of Bullet Club other than Evil, who's playing around with the House of Torture.
Right, but he's been playing around with the House of Torture since the pandemic. So.
Right. I don't know why they didn't push Shingo Takagi more. I have no idea why they didn't push Evil more. Evil should be main event. He has a gimmick.
Right.
He actually has an aura, and if they continue to push him strong, he would be a valuable asset, but they just didn't do that.
They're just not doing it. They're failing to do it. And now that these American promotions are paying out, well, not all of them are paying out a lot more, but I mean, AEW is just bringing out money like it's candy.
Because it has daddy's checkbook on it.
Right.
Why does AEW, I think AEW or New Japan, if they want to survive and say, we're not working with you anymore.
Right.
Screw you.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing this because it's just not a good working relationship.
No, it's not. Hey, it's very exploitative is what they're doing.
Hey, CMLL, guess what? You're not too far behind. No. You're not too far behind until you lose Volador Jr., until you lose Teton, until you lose Ultimo Guerrero, Stephanie Legere, whatever her name is. Just wait.
Yeah, because they are going to start purging those people as well.
Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I mean, Stardom. Stardom is
it's dead.
Is pretty much dead without its founder. But I think that AEW is going to start purging some of their stars that they somehow cannot get into WWE.
Yeah. Look. Because they already did with Mariah May.
Yeah.
Just wait until Azumi goes or AZM.
Yeah.
Wait until Utami goes. Wait until Tam Nakano goes. Yeah. Wait until Iwatami goes.
Yeah.
Only a matter of time.
Right.
It's only a matter of time, people.
It is.
Because it's a pattern.
Right.
It's a pattern from the word go. TNA saw the writing on the wall.
Yes.
And so they ended the relationship before it became toxic.
Right. And they lost a few stars, but they didn't lose very many.
Nope, they didn't. It's just a matter of time because they lost Ethan Page.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of anybody else that they really purged from TNA.
During that time, they really didn't purge a
ton. Kenny Omega was TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
Christian Cage was World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
I know they extended an offer to Alexander. I know, like I said, with Ethan Page, Deonna Purrazzo is another one.
But she left after.
She left after. But once again, they ended that cold turkey really early because they knew what they were going to do.
Right.
So, but now they're playing that. Now they're going to work with WWE who are like, we want Jordan Grace to be on there because we want it.
Right. It's not
we're not going to sign her.
Right.
We just want her to be in the Royal Rumble. Do you want to be in the Royal Rumble? Cool.
Sure.
Great. Awesome.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that we need.
Right. And so
And then it looks like Ross, the founder of Stardom, is his new promotion is going to work closely with WWE.
Yeah.
Kicking down the door for NXT Japan or NXT, like an exclusive women's NXT.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. But that's kind of where we're going to be going here,
right.
And that's going to be a different kind of relationship. That's going to be a symbiotic relationship.
I mean, what we're essentially seeing is New Japan on life support.
Yep.
And we said this before, but there's no excuse as to why New Japan should be on life support right now, but it pretty much is.
Yeah, there was Bushiroad. Bushiroad was one of the biggest companies in Japan.
Yeah. Or at least one of the biggest companies in their genre. They're not
right.
Big. They're not big by any stretch of the imagination.
They're one of the bigger ones. They're one of the more well knowns, maybe. Because they are playing cards and manga and shit.
Well, yeah, but okay, so they run a trading card, whatever. Anyways.
Those are still popular over there. I mean, it's not Pokemon or Nintendo, but
yeah.
Still.
It's not like Hyundai.
Right.
Hyundai is Korean, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Like Honda or Toyota.
But, you know, I will say this Sakura Genesis did showcase a lot of potential with their talent.
Yeah, it did, but it really got lost in the shovel because there were so many
There was so much wrestling.
It was
kind of hard to keep track of it, but Sakura Genesis did have a stacked card, so I wanted to at least give them another chance, and I was fairly impressed. I'm going to give them a full thumbs up again. Between Supercard and New Japan, I thought New Japan was the stronger of the two shows. But, you know, that's just me.
Anyways, when we come back, we're going to go to the actual best non-WrestleMania show of the weekend.
Definitely. All right, we are back. Stand and Deliver. I hate saying this because I really wanted to say that this was one of the best matches on the show. But Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams was not that match.
No, it did not have the magic. Although I understand, it definitely had the best rivalry going.
It had the rivalry going into it, but they're doing a steel cage match next week. This is kind of where they needed a stipulation.
Yes.
Because we already had the cool is already cooling off.
Right.
Because they already had Trick winning. Why is he taking on Carmelo again on NXT? Why isn't he just going for Ilya now?
Right.
That's the only thing that I have a problem with. But the thing is, Ilya, well, see, Ilya and Tony had an awesome match.
Well, but see, here's the thing about what's going on. Because the draft is coming up soon. And it looks like Ilya is going to be going up to the main roster along with Carmelo Hayes. I think that they're waiting for Trick and Melo for a spring break-in.
You mean Trick and Ilya?
Yeah, Trick and Ilya for
because
break-in.
Next week is the Steel Cage match.
Yeah,
so.
And that's not... No, that next week is spring break-in, isn't it?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Anyways, Ilya is moving up to the main roster, at least as far as we know. Carmelo Hayes is also moving up to the main roster, as far as we know. But then there's a draft coming in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So, but I think they're trying to...
I know Ilya is in the draft, and I believe Roxanne Perez is in the draft, and now she is the NXT Women's Champion.
Right, and so is Carmelo Hayes. He is also going to be in the draft. So Trick Trick Williams will probably be your NXT champion sometime in June.
Now the question is, what are we going to be doing with Roxanne Perez and the NXT Women's Champion?
Right, we don't know.
Because she just beat Lyra for the belt.
Yeah.
So, obvious, and Lyra looks like she might be hurt.
Yeah.
Or she's starting something with Tatum, which is fine, but who is the standout? I thought there was a contenders match or something last week. I cannot remember.
I'm not 100% sure. But anyways.
We had Roxanne face Natalya last week. So,
but let's talk about Sam Deliver. Let's not talk about what happened after Sam Deliver. As much as there's temptation to do
that. Oba Femi, Josh Briggs, and Dijak had a freaking awesome match.
It was a big Haas match, which is kind of what you expect.
They had some really big moments. Yep. That Death Valley driver off of Oba Femi's shoulders, that took a lot of core.
Yep.
And Oba continues to be, God, he is awesome. He is so good. I don't know why people... Don't sleep on Oba Femi, people.
No.
This guy, he has everything. Even though his English is great.
Yeah.
He gets great promo. He has great presence. In this match, he had two other heavy hitters, and he looked like the shining star of
right.
this show.
Another unusual decision, Wolf Dogs and Axiom Nathan Frazier for the NXT Tag Team Champions. Yep. They lost the following week, which was kind of weird.
I had a bitch fit about this, and a lot of people had a problem with me saying that because this was Braun Breaker's last match.
It was.
Here's my thing. This...
I think the reason why is because Braun Breaker wanted to cut the promo for his final match at the NXT arena. He didn't want to do it.
Here's the thing. I understand that, but why not just have Braun do a one-on-one and then do that promo at the end of the show?
Well, maybe it's because they wanted it. Maybe he wanted to lose the tag team champions then. And maybe it's because he wanted Baron Corbin to be there with him.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know all the stuff that goes on backstage, but, you know, looking at it in hindsight, it made sense. But at the time, it kind of
was very strange.
It was.
I really liked... Well, I think it makes sense that Braun wanted to end his NXT run in that arena.
Yep,
because that's where
he started it.
Well, not only that, but he was the face of 2.0. He was the face of that brand, and he went through like really the low on NXT and then the high of NXT.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for him to end it there.
Yes.
Should maybe a one-on-one with Baron probably would have been better in hindsight. But at the same time, I get why it's like lose the belt. Get out of there. You're going to be in the draft,
right.
Even though he's on SmackDown.
Well, he is on SmackDown. So yep. He did debut on SmackDown like that Friday.
Yep.
But anyways, talking a little
there
bit
was,
more.
There was a six-woman tag. There wasn't really anything there to be too
excited
impressed.
About.
Yep. But other than that, NXT was pretty straightforward. It was the best show out of all of them.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's just because there was a lot of really good stuff.
It was. There were a lot of great storylines. I mean, Shawn Michaels built this pretty well
for what it was. I just don't know what the thing is with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. I thought that was going to be a barn burner. It was a good match. But I guess my expectation, especially given the rivalry, was like
I was expecting this to kind of be the end of the rivalry.
Right. And they're just going to continue it. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, why?
You're right. And it wasn't even about the event itself. It's just about the things that happened after the event.
Right.
It's what happens when you have hindsight, I guess.
It really does. I mean, it's really hard to do that. They just kind of had some weird follow-up with a lot of this. And it's like, I'm trying to look at it very hyper-focused within the within the show itself. So it's like, okay, Carmelo and Trick, they should have had the best match, but they didn't have the best match. Ilya and Tony D'Angelo had an amazing match.
Right.
But that's literally because Ilya Dragunov, like,
cannot have a bad match.
He can literally wrestle like a freshly coiled pile of shit, and it's going to be the best match on the show.
Right.
He is so good. But Tony, just he's awesome.
He has great character work. He's still a little green for my taste, but
he's
improving.
His improvement has been awesome. Everything around like the family has been, it was done so great.
Yeah, it was.
It didn't feel like it overshadowed the match itself.
Right.
And Tony still looks like he is the main event player going forward within NXT, and I'm 100% for that. I can't wait for him to win this belt.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. Roxanne being the champion, I guess if Lyra is actually hurt, then it's
Roxanne
good.
Is a logical choice.
Yep.
But it sounds like Roxanne is going to be main roster bound anyway. So
well, she needed to justify the heel turn.
Who knows how long she is going to be on the NXT roster at this point.
Right. Now, it's not unusual for the NXT champion in some way, shape, or form to actively compete in on the main roster.
Right.
But we like Dolph Ziggler.
Right. But we also know that people who tend to come from the main roster or go to the main roster, they don't hold on to the NXT titles very long.
No. So Roxanne, I don't want to say she's a transitional. I really hope they maybe keep her down there just so she can lose it appropriately to the right person. But I'm sort of looking at the roster, and I really just can't think of anybody that would legitimately justify me thinking about it.
Right.
It's not going to be, Thea Hale.
Right.
Because you need a baby face.
Right, you do.
I mean, unless you want to push Sol Ruka.
I think that's what they're going for.
But it's hard because she just came back from injury not too long ago. I mean, I think if Cora Jade was available, I think, say, have her run as a babyface again, and that would kind of be a cool redemption story, but I don't know how long she's going to be out for.
Right, you just never know.
Nikita Lyons just went out not too long ago either, and she's a top-tier babyface, so it's just sort of hard. I'm going to, I guess, wait and see.
Yeah, kind of what happens with the NXT women's division.
We have a couple of weeks to build a person as a babyface for Roxanne.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about it, but as me sitting here right now, there's just not anybody that's that standout babyface that could justifiably be the person to do it.
Right. So I guess we'll see. Anyways, good overall show.
Yep. It was a long weekend, man.
Yes, it was.
So Peanut Gallery, what are we doing next week?
Next week is TNA's
Rebellion
pay-per-view.
Is that on Sunday or is that on Saturday?
It's on Saturday. On Sunday is Dynasty, but we don't cover Sunday shows unless it's WrestleMania.
Yes. So if you guys enjoy this video, remember to like, follow, subscribe, become a patron, all of that great stuff. And we will be back on regular. So we will have news, we will have a match, we'll have drama, we'll have all of it.
All of it next week.
As always, be
majestic.